Turn that guitar up.
Welcome to In the Studio, a 21st century look at history's finest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and we're in the studio for the anniversary of when one of America's most popular and enduring bands first took up residence on the charts and in our hearts from their musical residence on Toulouse Street.
It's an old whorehouse up in, or was an old whorehouse, up in the Santa Cruz Mountains about 120 years ago. More than that now, it'd be 140 years ago now, basically.
And brothel would have been a better word.
Well,
but I guess we'll go with whorehouse.
You know, you had your hippies and you had your, you know, God, I don't know, just mountain people type things and bikers, a lot of bikers. A big mix mash of whatever, the listening audience. And for some reason, we appealed to a pretty wide variety of people. And I'm Tom Johnston of the Doobie Brothers in the studio for Toulouse Street.
After a totally forgettable first album, the Doobie Brothers' sophomore effort, Toulouse Street, may be the greatest second act of the 70s. So remarkable a turnaround in sound and good fortune is the July 1972 release that many longtime Doobie Brothers fans still mistakenly refer to Toulouse Street as their first. Formed in San Jose, California, the Doobies' original song showed a knack toward cooking up a musical gumbo consisting of a balanced blend of distinctly American styles, including country blues, soul, acoustic folk, and chugging rock and roll. And the choices of outside songs to cover on Toulouse Street were a colorful mosaic running the gamut from Sonny Boy Williamson to Seals and Crofts. Growing up in Visalia, in Central California, before attending college in San Jose, Doobie Brothers singer, songwriter, guitarist Tom Johnston points out that Toulouse Street is an actual thoroughfare in New Orleans' French Quarter, literally 2,000 miles and culturally a world away from San Jose. Yet Tom Johnston doesn't deny that the Doobie Brothers incorporated many aspects of the imagery and instrumentation of the American Deep South.
Maybe it's because a lot of my folks are from the South. And the other thing is the South's real colorful. It's easy to write songs about the South. There's always something that you can latch on to. I don't care what area. It doesn't have to be New Orleans. It can be. I wrote songs about Texas. I wrote songs about Tennessee. I wrote songs about all over the place. I don't know why there's a link there that seems to be strong throughout the history of my songwriting anyway, and I don't necessarily know exactly why. Other than I was brought up in a town that's full of, or at least back then, was full of a lot of people whose origins were from the South, including mine. So it's like there was a link there, and I would go back to the section of Missouri I did over several times, you know, as I was growing up, and you know, still have. And that was considered part of the South during the Civil War and all that. And I went down and saw a lot of places, and did, you know, like St. Genevieve, you know, like that, and Savannah, Georgia, going to New Orleans, going to places in Texas, going to places, you know, all over, you know. And they're colorful places to write about, and the way people lived were colorful things to write about. And the imagery in the South is kind of grand and yet at the same time folksy.
Tom Johnston wrote and sang Rockin' Down the Highway on the Doobie Brothers' 1972 second album, Toulouse Street, exhibiting a winning sound by the Central California native, which seemed to be equal parts hard rocker and blue-eyed soul man. Tom admits that his roots are always showing.
About 1955, 56, when Little Richard's first album came out, my brother bought it and brought it home, and I played the hell out of it a lot more than he did. But he was a big Little Richard fan, and Bo Diddley and Jimmy Reed, and those it's like the and Elvis Presley, and his first album, I think. And I played all of those, and I still have that first Little Richard album. I still have the Jimmy Reed albums, and I still have the Bo Diddley album. They're still sitting in my house right over here in Mill Valley, yeah. I still got the albums from 1956, 57, 58, whatever. At any rate, I listened to them, and then I got into electric blues. I was heavily into that for a long time. And soul. James Brown was a big influence on me for many, many years. I mean, I never forgot the first time I saw him in Fresno. I'd never seen a show like that. I mean, there was people in there. They were white and 50 years old. And I said, what in the hell are they doing here at a James Brown show, you know? And it's like, they were standing on their seats, literally. These are like theater seats. They're standing on the armrest, going, yeah, like this. And it's just, I was dumbfounded. I'd never seen anybody on the stage put that kind of show on. I was just like, whoa. And that was after I'd gotten the first Live at the Apollo. And I followed all kinds of, I mean, Bobby Blue Bland, and I mean, on and on and on. But I was, and then I got heavily into blues, like probably senior in high school. I mean, I knew what the blues were, you know, as far as Jimmy Reed went, but as far as the guys who were more guitar player types, Albert King, all the King guys, Albert, Freddie, BB.
Well, I'm wearing snake bands on my trail. Oh, Lord, I'm worried. Snake man's on the trail, and I only come outside to pick up all of you as mail. Well, Black Eagle flies through my backyard. Well, Black Eagle flies through my backyard. Perches on my window, Lord, what a fearsome sight. 1960,
I took up playing the guitar. I was 12 years old. The first thing I bought was a one pickup K electric guitar, and that was a big thrill for me. And all I knew how to play was Jimmy Reed stuff. And a friend of mine showed me how to play some bar chords, and I learned that. And then from there, I did everything by listening to what they were doing and finding it on the next someplace, and then emulating what they did. The rhythm style that I do now, I got later on from playing acoustic guitar a lot in clubs and stuff, and then working that slowly into rock bands. Yeah, I did it backwards, if anything. And by the time I was a freshman in college, I was a heavy Eric Clapton fan from the Mail album he did with the Blues Breakers. And he was probably one of the finest blues guitar players I've ever heard, as far as electric blues go. He was just the consummate pro player. And he's changed his style several times, but I'm still a fan of the guy. Gospel music I loved, just real gospel. I mean, black gospel music, like church music. I mean, it's so, that's where a lot of people come from. I mean, like Otis, Aretha, and Patti LaBelle. I mean, so many singers come from the church, and that's where they learned how to sing like that. I mean, that's where they got their stylings from. I was a big fan of all that kind of thing, and got into more power trios and stuff like that after, actually, when I moved away from Vice. I was a heavy Hendrix fan by then. It's another big influence, but not so much that I play like him. I just love the guy's music. Basically, R&B and blues. Ray Charles, too, in the old days.
Perhaps the most fateful event in the formation and eventual success of the Doobie Brothers came the day Tom Johnston met Patrick Simmons, one half of an acoustic guitar duo. Here's Tom Johnston.
Pat was an excellent fan, and he still is, an excellent finger picker, and he was doing folk blues stuff with this Peter Grant, that's the guy's name. And they were really good, and John was really an avid fan of Moby Grape as much as I was, and wanted to kind of get that feel in a band somehow. And so he went and talked to Pat and asked him if he'd be interested in playing with us at his house. And Pat came over and jammed with us, and we sort of just got that together. So all of a sudden, we've got finger picking and a great voice, and he had songs written and stuff, and my kind of rhythm and voice, and the third voice being Dave Shogren. And that was what the initial Doobie Brothers was. And then that changed after the first album, which is a pretty much of a dud, collector's item, whatever. And the next one was Toulouse Street, when Michael came along the end, and we started the two-drummer configuration, and Tyron was a bass player. And then from there, pretty much everybody knows what happened.
San Francisco Bay Area activists and their local counterparts in San Jose used rock and roll events to help rally people for social change in those Vietnam War pre-internet days. Here's Pat Simmons of the Doobie Brothers.
Well, we've always done things since we first started. We used to, the way we got together, we did a Vietnam Day Committee benefit. That's how this band got together. That's when I first jammed with Tom and John and Dave Shogren. They were doing a Vietnam Day Committee. I believe that was the term. It was, get out of, stop the war thing. And so that, that's sort of part of our tradition, I guess, is that I knew these guys were aware people when we did that. And we've been trying to wake up ever since,
Cottonmouth from the Doobie Brothers' Toulouse Street album contains chunky, funky rhythm guitar, blues, and brass served hot over a great groove. When we come back, original Doobie drummer John Hartman joins Tom Johnston and Pat Simmons to reveal how living in the basement of the band house can be extremely motivating. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear lots more from your favorite rock stars at inthestudio.net. I'm Red Beard. You're in the studio with Tom Johnston and Pat Simmons on the 1972 anniversary of the Doobie Brothers' Toulouse Street.
Hi, I'm John Hartman of the Doobie Brothers.
And I'm Pat Simmons.
And I'm Tom Johnston of the Doobies with Red Beard.
Thanks, guys. We're spotlighting the Doobie Brothers' 1972 second album, Toulouse Street. It was in the rundown house on 12th Street in San Jose where the Doobie Brothers bonded. Young, struggling club musicians barely able to make the rent on the place that they all shared. Down to nothing but cornflakes and a couple of, well, doobies. Here's original Doobie drummer John Hartman with Pat Simmons in the studio.
Times got tough. There were some pretty tough times with no money, no food.
John was just hoping the food stamp inspector didn't show up.
Yeah, really.
Asking for his green card.
And I didn't have one. I was in trouble. No, we had some real tough. I had some real tough times. I was sleeping in the basement because they had no room in the house, and it was cold and damp down there. I want to tell you, they called me the gremlin. Yeah, they wanted
org.
Org is down there.
He's down in the basement. I won't even describe.
Oh, well, it was kind of nice.
Plain old mattress.
It was a mattress, and I used my jacket as a pillow. People would look at me strangely when I came up from the basement. I don't know why. Strange and unusual music would occur at strange hours of the night.
It was a scene, I'll tell you, when I met John and Tom. It was like, you know, the fabulous Free Freak Brothers.
Groovy, man.
I was... Oh, hey, man, I just came from down the block, man. You want a jam or something? Or smoke something? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Got any wine, man?
Oh, yeah, really? You got a quart jar? No, wait a minute. You got a gallon and a half jar bottle of this Red Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
evergreen classic, Listen to the Music, on the Doobie Brothers Toulouse Street, was written and sung by Tom Johnston, who was the central creative force in the band's early success with his distinctive rhythm guitar playing and vocal style. When first signed to a major label, the publicist at Warner Brothers Records tried to pump up the laid-back band's bio with an image of playing often for the notorious Hell's Angels. Doobie Brothers' Tom Johnston says that the association was kind of inaccurate.
We weren't a biker band. I mean, some of us like to ride, myself, and I is one of them, and Pat rides and has a lot of motorcycles at his house, antique motorcycles, plus, you know, the one that he rides is more modern. But, you know, we weren't a biker band. If that's all we did, go play for bikers. We did know some Hell's Angels, and they did come over to the house now and again. And we even, well, we were supposed to one night, and we didn't do it, as a matter of fact. But we played some gigs for the Hell's Angels in particular. That was just a path. I mean, we played for everybody, so it's not like we were just a biker band. They gave us that image, and yet here's this album that sounds almost like a collection of folk tunes or something.
Walking in shadows I cannot see. Faces they smile when I follow flee. Doors without windows all shattered tight again. I just might pass this way again. I just might pass this way again. I just might pass this way, I just might pass this way again. The night she is hot, the old girls they sing. My heart it is pounding, my ears they ring. The spell has been cast down in New Orleans again. I just might pass this way again. I just might pass this way again. I just might pass this way. I just might pass this way again.
Pat Simmons wrote, sang, and played the finger-picked guitar on the beautiful title song to Toulouse Street by the Doobie Brothers. The center of the San Jose music scene then was a nightclub called the Chateau Liberté, with a colorful clientele and an even more colorful past. Tom Johnston of the Doobies explains, with some assistance from dual Doobie drummer Mike Hossick.
You know, you had your hippies and you had your, you know, God, I don't know, just mountain people type things, and bikers, a lot of bikers. For some reason, we appealed to a pretty wide variety of people. A big night for us was, in those times, was $60. Later on at the Chateau Liberté, we made some bucks. We made like on a really big, humongous night, we made like $700, which is a lot of money in those days. And they packed everybody that was physically able to get in there, and to help with the building codes and the fire and all that crap. They just did it. It's an old whorehouse up in there. It was an old whorehouse up in the Santa Cruz Mountains about 120 years ago. More than that now. It'd be 140 years ago now, basically. And
brothel would have been a better word.
Well, whatever.
But I guess we'll go with whorehouse.
commenting on the Doobie Brothers' definitive cover version of Jesus Is Just All Right, found on the band's breakthrough 1972 album, Toulouse Street.
The funny thing about it is when we toured, that the tour after that, when that album took off, there was a lot of one-way freaks at that time, a lot of reborn Christians and stuff. It was very gaining a lot of popularity throughout the United States. And we would get up and start playing, and all these kids would be crunched up against the stage, and they'd be throwing little Bibles and verse scripture and stuff on the stage because they thought we were a religious band. Yeah, I'm not saying we're a bunch
of... thought we could use it.
We're not card-carrying atheists or anything, and everybody has their own religious beliefs or whatever, you know, how they look at it or doesn't have their own religious beliefs. But we weren't a Christian rock band or anything. We weren't anything of that nature, gospel rock, whatever they call it now. We got the song. We did the song.
Simple as that.
Arrangement. We liked the tune.
That was Tom Johnston and Mike Hossick. Sadly, lovable drummer Big Mike Hossick passed away. When we return, the other tandem drummer, John Hartman, explains how Doobies quickly earned the rep as the hardest working road band in America. Be sure to follow In the Studio on Facebook and get much more at inthestudio.net. I'm Red Beard. You're in the studio with Tom Johnston and Pat Simmons on the 1972 anniversary of the Doobie Brothers' Toulouse Street.
Hi, I'm John Hartman of the Doobie Brothers.
And I'm Pat Simmons.
And I'm Tom Johnston of the Doobies with Redbeard.
It's a pleasure, guys, strolling down Toulouse Street. Like the Allman Brothers Band, the Doobie Brothers featured dual drummers, including John Hartman, who seems modest about the grueling live concert schedule, which earned the band a rep of tireless touring.
When we first started out in the early 70s, a band would put out an album and you'd have to work the album, which meant that you'd have to go and play concerts across the country. What was happening at that time in the mid-60s, actually starting back in the early 60s, the music industry was growing and growing and growing. By the time we got into it, it was a $3 billion a year industry. I think it's quite large now, larger than that. And the only way that people could see the group or hear the group or motivate the group was the band would have to go to city to city to city. And that's just how we had to do it. We would go out and open up for whoever would have us open up for them, and move the album that way. You know, it's basic marketing in the early 70s. As the industry grew and communications grew, i.e., through media or television, a lot of bands didn't have to do that. We had fallen into a groove at that point, and kept our same schedule, i.e., by the time we figured out that we didn't have to do that, we were labeled the hardest working American band ever. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but we certainly were working a lot.
Singer, songwriter, guitarist Tom Johnston.
We considered ourselves a rock band. You know, I mean, we became more so, if anything, and a lot of us had come from backgrounds of playing power trios and things like that, and we wanted, and that's the way we came across live on stage, except for the acoustic numbers that would be done. And the softer numbers, but when we rock and roll, we would rock and roll hard. And people were surprised by that. I know I've been told several times by people that they'd heard, say, Toulouse Street, or even The Captain and Me, and they went to see us live. They thought we were a good group, but they didn't expect to get the show that they got. And somehow it just never got translated. That energy never really got translated to record until maybe Vices and Habits. As far as recording, it sounded good. It sounded, you know, really nice and everything. It wasn't as edgy as, say, Mountain or somebody like that, or Hendrix or Cream or something would do if we were trying to do a song that was really hard rock.
The hard-edged song Disciple by the Doobies' Tom Johnston is an unapologetic guitar workout that lives down at the end of Toulouse Street. The hit single success of their song Listen to the Music, followed by even greater sales of their follow-up album The Captain and Me in 73, coupled with a heavy touring schedule, had obvious benefits in the bank accounts for the band members. But Tom Johnston noticed unintended consequences to the Doobies' early success.
Pressure started happening by then. See, things had changed from where we were before. I mean, before Toulouse Street took off, I remember distinctly how I felt about music, playing it, and what I was doing. I think a lot of the guys in the band kind of felt this way. I didn't really care if we ever made it, to be honest with you, because I was happy doing what we were doing. I was broke, but I always had enough money to pay the rent, and food stamps took care of the food. So basically, I could do whatever I want, play music all day long, which I dearly loved, and play with all these different people. And when this band came to be, it was fun to practice. I mean, I look forward to working and playing all day and stuff, and working on harmonies and stuff, because I never got to do that this way before. And it really seemed like a unique group. And so when we played live, it started gaining popularity around the local area, and we started getting a name. And I enjoyed that. I really didn't even think about the future. And I think, I'm sure some guys did. I know John did, for one, and I know maybe, Pat probably did, maybe everybody did, but I just kind of liked where we were at.
The drive down Toulouse Street is now viewed in the rearview mirror 4 decades later by the only musician to appear on every Doobie Brothers album, Pat Simmons.
Among the Doobie Brothers, I think they're this kind of era with Tom Johnston and the original band. We sort of had a sound from that era, I would say probably from about 1970... Well, that was the beginning band almost, but around 1971, 72 to about 77, that was the sound of the Doobie Brothers with Tom and myself and the original guys, the two-drum lineup, John, Mike, Tyran on bass. So I think we definitely hold on to some of our roots that we established back then and even earlier. You know, a lot of our music comes from early soul grooves a little bit, I would say, James Brown kind of stuff, and Steve Cropper, that early Motown stuff, the blues, we played the blues a lot. And then we borrowed from a lot of rhythm guitar players in our music. I can think of people, Richie Havens, Dave Mason, those kinds of people, so that there's a little bit of that in our music, the Isley Brothers. So that's a little bit of our sound, probably our original sound. And then I think we've listened to a lot of other kinds of music since we started the band back then. And, right up to newer things that are going on, that it influences our music all the time. So I think we're trying to we're walking a thin line. We want to retain everything we enjoyed in this band originally with our sound and our approach, and still have fun with that and move on and achieve, other sounds and other grooves and other kinds of songs. So, we're trying to hang in there and keep our own interest, I think, alive in pursuing all kinds of different musical goals.
Rising up blue, hills are rolling, walking with you through a field of red stones. I've been confused from voices calling to me where the white sun has shone, and I slip away down by the water. And I slip away down by the sea. Take love and give love. It's got to be a gleam in his eye. His garden is green and seems overflowing, and his and I slip away down by the sea. Take love and give love. It's got to be.
The Doobie Brothers, led by Tom Johnston and Pat Simmons. Right, Redbeard at inthestudio.net. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Pat Simmons, John Hartman, and Tom Johnston, and God rest the soul of Mike Hossick. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2017, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.